So today is the sixth Sunday of Lent. It is Palm Sunday, and we began our Lenten sermon series by calling it Foolish Love. This is a juxtaposition of when Lent began this year on February 14th, Valentine's Day, and then Easter takes place on March 31st, the day before April Fool's Day. And Lent leads us to the cross. And the cross is God's act of love. And to the world, the cross is foolishness. To the world, God's love is foolish. And today we see how God's foolish love is dangerous. I invite you to hear the good news from Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48. Listen to these words that Jesus is speaking here. Matthew 5, beginning in verse 43, he says, "You have heard that it was said, you must love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who harass you, so that you will be acting as children of your Father who is in heaven. He makes the sun rise on both the evil and the good and sends rain on both the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love only those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, just as your heavenly Father is complete in showing love to everyone, so also you must be complete." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, your foolish love confounds the wise. May we be fools for you and find your love and power in our salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Benjamin Franklin once said that those who would give up essential liberty to purchase temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And what Ben was saying is that maintaining our freedom is not a safe endeavor. That being free people is risky. It's risky. It's dangerous. And if we want to keep it, it's going to cost us something. And as Christians, we're free people. And I don't mean free as in the American dream kind of free. I mean we're free in the sense that we are liberated from fear. We're liberated from death. We're liberated from that sin that creeps in the darkness and desires to consume us. We're free to do what's right, what's good. We're free to do justice, love kindness, and be humble. Yet we all desire security. We pray to God, our rock, our fortress, our Savior, to protect us and be there with us. And we all appreciate our own safety and security. I know you do, because when we're looking for a place to live, safety and security are at the top of our list for the neighborhood or the place we're looking. And when we're thinking about our ideal spouse, women often state that safety and security and protector are top qualities. And then as a nation, as Americans, we spend over $825 billion a year to fund our military. And this is more than the next 8 largest nations in the world combined. Creating a safe world is a huge priority for us. Yet as Christians, if we're more invested in being safe than we are as followers of Jesus, we've gotten ourselves tilted a little off axis and we're missing something. Because Jesus says, instead of loving your neighbor and hating your enemy, love and pray for both of them. Pray for those that are mean to you. Pray for those who bully you. Pray for those who harass and tease you. Love those who do you wrong. Because if you only love those who love you, you're no better than those you hate. Instead, be like God. Love everyone. And when you love everyone, you will be made perfect just as God is perfect. Now, wait a minute. Wait just a minute. Because when I read these words of Jesus, they rock my world. Maybe they do to you as well. I mean, because I love my family and I love my friends and I love my neighbors who are cool to me and nice to me. But those other people, those who make life hard, those who talk about me behind my back, those who complain about me to their friends, how am I supposed to love them? Jesus says, follow me and I'll show you. Follow me all the way to the cross and I'll show you. Jesus says, I am sending you as lambs among wolves. And he reminds us that following him is not easy. In fact, it's difficult and it's often dangerous. And then Jesus demonstrates this reality as he encounters danger and even takes on death. Revealing himself as the Son of God in all his wisdom and healing power, for 3 years, he pushes back on the forces of darkness that are all around. He pushes back on those self-righteous religious leaders. He pushes back on the social norms that separate and segregate us from clean and unclean and sinner and saint. And then he rides into Jerusalem, the capital city of Judea, like a victorious king coming in to bring peace. And the people, they're cheering him on. And they're screaming, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the Son of David. Which means, help us, save us, heir apparent to the throne, come and be our king. And the people are thinking that this is the day, this is the time, and this Jesus, he is the one. And they're ready for a king who kicked butt and took names. They're ready for a leader who says what they're thinking. They're ready for a leader who would remove the Romans from their positions of power and who would kick out all of those who weren't like them and put those self-righteous, religious, pious people in their place. Except a few days go by and they don't really see this happening. And they're waiting and watching, yet Jesus keeps hanging out of the temple. Why is he there? Why isn't he doing something real, something tangible? Why is he making this fuss about the temple being a welcoming place for all people? A house of prayer? That if you strike him down, he'll rise again in 3 days? Do something, Jesus. And in that lack of doing something, then Judas, one of his closest friends, sells him out. Maybe it was for the money. You know, enough to buy a lake house in today's market. But maybe it was an attempt to kickstart the revolution they all wanted and force Jesus to play his power hand. But Jesus knows it's coming. He even tells them that he's going to be betrayed, and one of you is going to be betraying me, and Judas plays the game. Who, me? Couldn't be. And then Jesus responds, it's your words. You said it. Now go and do what you have to do. And then just a few hours later, Judas, that close friend of Jesus, did what he thought he had to do, and he cast his vote for the ones who he thought would get him the power that he wanted. Judas, that friend, greets Jesus with a warm embrace, a hug, and a kiss on the cheek, which gives the signal that this is the man that the guards, that the police, that the soldiers are looking for. And they come to arrest him. And Peter lashes out to defend Jesus, except Jesus says, stop. This is not the way. This is not what I have taught you. Love your enemies. Remember that we are lambs among wolves. We are wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves, even when it's dangerous. And I'm showing you the way. I'm showing you the truth. I'm showing you the life. I'm leading you to the cross. And it's dangerous if you follow me. But if you do, great is your reward. Great is your reward. Every week for the past 6 weeks, we've read 1 Corinthians 1:18 that says the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are being destroyed, foolishness to the world, but it's the power of God for us, for those who are being saved. And when we follow Jesus to the cross, we experience God's power, God's salvation, God's grace. It's risky. It's dangerous. Yet it's the greatest thing that we will ever know. John Wesley says that this is our goal in life, to be made perfect in love. God's grace, it pours out over on us, and God is constantly pouring it out over us more and more and more, and it helps us to be like Jesus as we learn to follow Jesus. And we call this sanctifying grace. But to accept it, to partner with it, to embrace it, to live into that love of God, that's dangerous. God's love is dangerous. And when Jesus was arrested and he was on trial and standing before Pilate, he told Pilate he could call down a million angels to rescue him. But instead, out of love, he gave himself willingly. He gave himself on the cross. And that meant death. And from that place on the cross, he still offered forgiveness to those people who put him there. And he still offered the men hanging next to him, men who deserved to be there, he offered them mercy. And one of them accepted it. Yet it's dangerous. God's love is dangerous. And the world sees it as foolish. God's foolish love is dangerous because it challenges our way of seeing things. God's foolish love is dangerous because your family won't understand why you don't hate the people that they hate. God's foolish love is dangerous because your friends won't get why you're merciful to those who don't like you. God's foolish love is dangerous because it might cost you social status or a promotion or an opportunity to be a part of the in crowd. God's foolish love is dangerous because it leads us to go against the beliefs of our friends and our families and even our political parties. And they all might reject you because you chose love. God's foolish love is dangerous because it causes us to see someone whom we don't like, whom we hate, who we can't stand, who it makes us sick to even be around. It causes us to see them as a child of God. God's foolish love is dangerous because it doesn't appeal to our image of God as a kick butt and take names kind of God. And while God will eventually accomplish God's own will, God's will for us, for me, and for you is to follow Jesus. And when we follow Jesus, we're transformed by this foolish thing called love that does justice, shows kindness, and embraces humility. It leads us to offer mercy to those that we don't want to give mercy. It leads us to offer grace to someone who we think doesn't deserve it. And it leads us to love someone that we don't want to love. God's foolish love confounds the world. And when we live into it, we are lambs among wolves, lambs led to slaughter, lambs whose lives are on the line. The disciples who witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection, they experienced this when almost every one of them died a martyr, living out the good news of Jesus. God's foolish love is dangerous, and Jesus lived it anyway. The disciples followed it and shared it anyway. And centuries of Christians passed it down to us anyway. And this is hard. It's uncomfortable. We won't always like it, yet we're here, I'm here, and you're here because someone thought that you were worth the risk, that you were worth the danger, that you were worth the price to be paid. And the future, those who don't know Jesus, and even those who do but don't act like it, they're worth the risk too. So why embrace God's foolish love? It's risky. It's dangerous. Yet in the end, it wins. And if you embrace it, you will know God's grace in a more intimate way. You'll experience a better life. You'll help make other lives better. You'll make the world a better place through Jesus Christ. And you'll show people why you are who you are, because you will love as you have been loved. God's foolish love is dangerous. Let's show it anyway. Amen?